For over 20 years, a man whom some call a modern-day John the Baptist has been traveling the globe, telling audiences that the second coming of Christ will not be a celestial spectacle in a distant future, but is instead a real event, unfolding since 1977 behind the scenes of everyday life, and signifying the reappearance of a great spiritual teacher for all people, a world teacher, who is not only Christ returned, but also the long-awaited Messiah, the Imamahdi, Krishna, and the fifth Buddha, all one and the same individual. This world teacher, whose name is Maitreya, stands at the head of an enlightened group known as the Masters of Wisdom, who are here to help humanity solve the problems of the world.
Hey everyone, welcome again to Revelations. In tonight's podcast, I will be discussing Benjamin Krem and the so-called Maitreya. For those of you that are familiar with Krem and his claims about this Maitreya, you know why I'm addressing this. For those of you that don't, you'll know soon enough. Now, I don't mean to imply that this Maitreya is the Antichrist, but certainly Krem is a false prophet. And if this Maitreya does actually exist, this would have to be an Antichrist, if not the Antichrist. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to present you with Benjamin Krem talking. I have a press conference with him speaking about his Maitreya, and I have a lot of information about Benjamin Krem, and I've been all over their website today, taking notes on things and looking around the internet for more information on their movement, which is done through a company called Share International. Share International is a magazine that I'm now going to read to you from a clip inside of an actual Share International magazine that someone scanned. Share International is published monthly, except bi-monthly in January and February, July and August of each year, by Share International Foundation, a non-profit, non-governmental organization in association with the Department of Public Information of the United Nations. Now, Krem is tied in with all kinds of occult groups, as you will find out, and he claims that this Maitreya is the top guy here, the top master, supreme whatever, and that Jesus was just an extension of the Maitreya, and that this extension of Jesus has come back as a master and is now in Rome waiting to take over the Christian church, so that when the Maitreya appears, the Maitreya will become this spiritual savior of mankind, and then Jesus can step up and claim the throne of the Catholic Church and sit on the throne of the Catholic Church. So I think the best way for me to do this now is just to start playing clips, and then I will stop them and comment on what the narrator says and what Benjamin Krem has to say.
Mr. Krem's perspectives about the world teacher and the Masters of Wisdom derive from and continue the theosophical teachings introduced by Helena Blavatsky in 1875 and expanded upon by Alice Bailey from 1919 to 1949. Both Blavatsky and Bailey claimed to have received their information telepathically from one or more of the masters. Benjamin Krem also claimed such telepathic contact.
Okay, now I mentioned Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey in the computer podcast I did. They were both an influence on Thomas Edison. These were two women very, very much into the occult. So we'll start with Blavatsky. Clearly, the two of these women were into channeling. They believed they were communicating mentally with spirits in another realm. In 1873, Madame Blavatsky came to New York City. She impressed people with her evident psychic abilities. She was spurred on to continue her mediumship. Through her career, she was reputed to have demonstrated physical and mental psychic feats, which included levitation, clairvoyance, out-of-body projection, telepathy, and clairaudience. Another alleged skill of hers was materialization, that is, producing physical objects out of nothing. Though she was reportedly quite adept at these accomplishments, she claimed that her interests were more in the area of theory and laws of how they work, rather than performing them herself. While living in New York City, she founded the Theosophical Society. The Theosophical Society just basically said all religions are true, their inner teachings are all true, and they're all false at the same time. Imperfect men attempting to translate the divine knowledge had corrupted it in translation. Her claim that esoteric spiritual knowledge is consistent with new science may be considered to be the first instance of what is now called New Age thinking. And you will find this is exactly what Benjamin Krem is talking about. Now, Alice Bailey was a leading disciple of Madame Blavatsky. She formed the Lucifer Trust in 1920. 1922 saw the organization's name changed to the Lucis Trust. I wonder why they had to do that. The Lucis Trust promulgates the work of an ascended master who was working through Alice Bailey for some 30 years. The Lucis Trust Publishing Company and their many fronts and organizations worship an externalized hierarchy of ascended masters who carry out the work of a Luciferian master plan for the establishment of a permanent Age of Aquarius, ruled by one Sanat Kumara, the Lord of the World. So the Lucis Trust is a New Age movement, yes, but it's also an institution that has consultative status at the United Nations, which permits it to have a close working relationship with the UN, including a seat on the weekly sessions. But more importantly, they're not just sitting in on these meetings. They're piping in, chiming in, and influencing world leaders in decisions that they're making. So the Lucis Trust is sitting in on these meetings, and they're pushing globalization. And under the pretense of making the world a better place, they're saying globalization is the way to go. That's the only way to have true equality. Actually, that's the only way to set up an Antichrist one-world government. Now, the Lucis Trust is run through an international board of trustees whose membership has included John D. Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger. And this basically then ties them into more of these secretive, elitist groups like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission. So you have a permeation of these occult groups seeping into these seemingly just little political bodies or wealthy banking communities. So with that, I'll get back to Krem. I just wanted to give you all some background on Krem's influence and to explain to you how his influences are also influencing the world around us, so he doesn't just seem like an isolated little offshoot of some cult. I mean, this is something that was started at the late 1800s and the early 1900s, this New Age movement, and it's the same New Age movement we have now. The rebirth of big-time acceptance of paganism and Satanism, and the same goes for the idea that UFOs planted us here or seeded us here or aliens somehow infused genetic manipulation into monkeys that helped speed along the evolutionary process to create mankind. That all comes from the same place. That all comes from this early 20th century movement of occultism. And when you wonder how deeply this movement goes, think about our last pope running around the world, having groups of every different religion on the planet coming to the Vatican and all praying simultaneously to their gods. George Bush ignoring the fact that Jesus said no man can come to the Father but by me, and stating that Muslims and Christians worship the same God and that we just have different ways about getting to the Almighty. This is a very dangerous movement that has infiltrated modern-day Christianity and distorted that into something that's unholy and wrong. All right, let's get back to the cream puff, Benjamin Krem.
Masters are our elder brothers, members of humanity who advance before us, a group of perfected, illumined, enlightened men who for millennia have lived in the remote mountain and desert areas of the world. And from there, they have beneficently overseen and stimulated our evolution from the earliest times. And every cosmic cycle, one or other of these masters comes into the world as a teacher for that time, as Krishna and the Buddha, the Christ, Muhammad. These are all masters coming, all of them, from the same spiritual center of the world, the spiritual hierarchy of masters and initiates who make the next kingdom up above the human.
All right, did you catch that? Illumined, enlightened beings. So we talk about the Illuminati, we talk about Satan, we talk about how Lucifer is represented by the torch. I won't get into Prometheus yet again. But as soon as you hear that illuminated statement, instantly you have to think of Lucifer, and you have to think of all of the other things that I've been talking about in these podcasts. And when you want to talk about all these masters and Krishna and Buddha and all these things, yeah, you know what? They very well could have been enlightened beings, enlightened by some demonic force. I have no doubt. You know, that's what my personal belief is. Now, lumping Jesus in there? Yeah, he's got to do that. They have to do that. They have to have a solution to all the world religions. So, you know, you just lump Jesus in there and say, yeah, he was a great guy too. He was just one of these other minions of these higher spiritual realm beings. Well, that's nonsense. You know, Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. He didn't say, I'm an enlightened master. The Bible's very clear about this. Just to cite a few examples, Jesus said God was his Father in John 5:18. Jesus said, I came from God in John 8:42. Jesus said, dost thou believe in the Son of God? It is he that talketh with thee in John 9:35 and 37. Even God said it. Matthew 3:17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You have evil spirits calling him the Son of God. When he died, the centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. None of these people were saying, wow, Jesus was an enlightened being, a master from a spiritual realm. No, he was the Son of God. So Benjamin Krem can twist Jesus any way he wants, but in doing so, he should infuriate every Christian that hears him say this nonsense, because he's rewriting reality. He's rewriting the Word of God and twisting it into something that is purely Luciferian and satanic in nature. And this guy has ties to the UN? The UN is funding this guy? Okay, so let's listen to more about this, the Maitreya.
He says there is only one way this world will ever know peace, and that is if we create justice in the world. And there is only one way, he says, we will have justice, and that is if we share the resources of the world more equitably. Because he says the tensions inherent in the discrepancy of living standards between the developed and the developing world have within them a seeds of a third world war. That war would be nuclear and would destroy all life, human and subhuman, on this planet. That war will not take place. Maitreya is absolutely certain that humanity will respond to his call for justice and sharing and so create the peace which everybody aspires to. Everybody, if they've any sense, wants peace. But he cannot, without infringing our free will, simply hold up his hand and say there shall be no war, there shall be no destruction. He cannot do that. The laws governing human free will do not allow it. So what he has to do and what he will do is to galvanize humanity into action on our own behalf.
So now what does that mean? He's going to galvanize humanity on our own behalf? He's going to take away free will? Does this sound like a really nice guy? This lord of the world sounds like a tyrant to me. And these Luciferians that just love Lucifer because he represents a turning away from oppression and free will and basically spitting in the face of God and turning his back and walking out and saying, ah, enough of this. So you have basically a Luciferian that's going to come here and galvanize the world to save us from our terrible selves. Now I ask you this. Who would you rather submit to? the God of gods, Jesus, and God Almighty, or Lucifer, who is a nothing peon, little twerp compared to God. Because Krem's telling you right here, you're going to have to submit to this guy. If Maitreya is the real deal, then you're going to have to submit to him, and he's going to be calling the shots.
To support his claim that Maitreya and the Masters are here and ready to help solve our most critical problems, Benjamin Krem presented three categories of evidence at his news conference. One category of evidence, a continuous wave of miraculous events, has already been reported by news media, although, says Mr. Krem, reported as separate phenomena, without knowing that these events all have a common cause, Maitreya and the Masters.
He has created millions of phenomena, miracles, which now daily bedazzle all those who come in contact with them. The visions of the Madonna, which, for example, appear to the children at Medjugorje every evening and give them secrets. Similar visions which have occurred in many countries, wherever there are Christian groups around the world. Statues which weep real tears and blood. The statues as in Ireland, which open their eyes and close them again. There is a 35-foot rainbow-colored Madonna which adorns a bank in Florida. People come every day to see this miracle, which was vandalized and has restored itself to its original pristine color. The icon of Jesus in Sydney, Australia, a large crucifix, which leaks liters of pure olive oil. These are signs. To the religious person, the sign that God is there, God is real, God is looking after them, they think it is an act of God. Well, it is not an act of God. These miracles are the very definite acts of a science unknown to us, but known to all the masters, the science between of the relationship between matter and energy, and the interchange of energy into matter and matter back to energy.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's right about one thing. This isn't God doing these things to these statues. I don't believe that for a second. I've always believed that that was something demonic. Christians have been told not to make graven images of things. They're especially not to bow down and worship them. I understand this may offend some Catholics, if there's any Catholics listening. I don't apologize for this. You're told not to do this. Don't do it. When you hear about these Mary visions, Mary was a human and Mary is dead. Mary is not coming back to give secrets to little children. Christianity is not a religion of secrets. It is not a secret society. Everything we need to know about Christianity is in one book that you can go to the bookstore and buy. You don't need secrets. There are no secrets. You don't have priests that have secrets. The Vatican claims to have secrets. Why all the secrets? So I'll tell you what, I will agree wholeheartedly with Krem here. This stuff is not of God. This is the quote-unquote masters, or as I like to refer to them, demons, pulling off little shenanigans to throw people off and to make people think that something supernatural is going on and rewarding people for worshiping statues or calling attention to a statue that then somehow is deserving of worship.
I think probably one of the greatest miracles that the world has ever seen on the widest possible scale is the milk miracle, which occurred in the Hindu community, north, south, east, and west, wherever Hindus did puja in September 95. The milk was offered to the gods, and the milk disappeared. It looked, in every case, as if the statues lapped up the milk. It disappeared in seconds. In New Delhi, everything stopped. Parliament closed. Millions of people took to the streets with their cans of milk. In fact, after 4 days, they ran out of milk. Of course, these gods made of wood and teak and bronze and copper and so on did not drink the milk. The miracle is not that they drank the milk. The miracle is that the milk disappeared. It was made to disappear by Maitreya and a group of masters who specialize in this particular type of miracle.
Now let me get this straight. The Maitreya is the master of masters. He outranks even Jesus Christ. And these masters are so powerful, yet they have masters that specialize in disappearing milk. Milk that disappears from people feeding it to statues. Again, the statues come up, but that's neither here nor there. Does this not remind you of Moses at Pharaoh's court? And you had these magicians that could do tricks. They could turn their staffs into snakes and stuff. And they had limited demonic inspired power. But they couldn't really do anything that was of any help to anyone. And that's the same thing here. Wow, we can make some... We are all powerful. We can make milk disappear. We are the masters of all. Give me a break. If this Maitreya was so powerful and so mighty, he wouldn't need to oppress people to make the world into a perfect world, into a perfect existence. That wouldn't be necessary. But Maitreya, if he's real, if he's legitimate, is purely demonic. And I absolutely have to use Krem's prime example, his best example of these miracles, thanks to the masters, as just showing how weak and pathetic and manipulative, yet again pathetic, these demonic entities are. And how foolish people can be, but that's besides the point. Just look at how weak these spirits are compared to Jesus Christ and our Lord God in heaven.
A second category of evidence presented at Benjamin Krem's news conference consists of personal accounts, reports from private parties who have met very remarkable people, people who, in some cases, have saved them in the nick of time from injury or even death. These private parties have written to Benjamin Krem at Share International magazine, of which he is chief editor, and had Mr. Krem confirm that the remarkable people they met were either Maitreya or a master. In addition to these reported encounters, there have been, according to Mr. Krem, countless others all over the world where people had no idea that they had actually been helped by one of the masters.
There was a survey taken in America not too long ago about angels and whether people believed in angels, and it was found an extraordinary number. I think it was up around 80% of people said yes, they believed in angels, and they had had some kind of experience, some saving situation by an angel. They were healed, or they were saved from an auto accident or such like. In every single case of saving by so-called angels, you have seen a saving situation by one or other of the masters. They can make themselves appear as people imagine an angel to be. If people are a bit more sophisticated, maybe know a little more about the masters, they come to them in their own perfectly normal appearance. And all of these millions of experiences throughout the world of angels are, and growingly are, the activity of the masters.
So basically, Krem attributes anything good that happens, whether you know that it's happened or not, whether or not someone has come to your rescue and you didn't notice it, or you didn't notice them, or whatever, that's always the masters. The masters are always there to help out. He doesn't make any mention of when things go wrong and the masters aren't there for you. The masters are just these things, and once in a while they show up and do something nice, and we don't notice it, but they were there, and that's proof enough. He seems completely to be saying that there is no God. There's just an enlightened state. These are enlightened beings, not so much gods. But that's why they can reveal themselves as they truly are, as the masters, to those who are a bit more sophisticated. But they can show up as angels, you know, if you're just a hokey religious person.
According to Benjamin Krem, Maitreya himself has appeared to individuals and also to groups of people around the world. One of these appearances was actually documented in a newspaper report, although, says Mr. Krem, none of the media, including CNN and others who picked up the story, knew at the time that this was Maitreya.
He appeared out of the blue on the 11th of June 1988 in Nairobi, in Kenya, before 6,000 people. One moment he wasn't there, the next moment he's standing beside the woman dressed in blue. Her name is Mary Akatsa. She is a fundamentalist Christian preacher, and he spoke to them in perfect, unaccented Swahili, the native language, for 15 or 20 minutes, and then he disappeared as amazingly as he had come.
Remember Madame Blavatsky? Another alleged skill of hers was that of materialization, that is, producing physical objects out of nothing. Now, I'll get into more about this Maitreya guy later, but he doesn't claim to just be a spirit being. He was born of two parents, and he's supposedly completely human, so you have to find it odd that he's just materializing around places.
Another piece of evidence presented at Benjamin Krem's news conference is a declaration by a former official in the United States Information Agency. This official held a top security clearance and says that he has personally met Maitreya. He also says that other officials he worked with in the United States government, at the highest levels of other governments, and even the Vatican, know that Benjamin Krem's story is true, because these other officials say they have met Maitreya themselves.
Now, I don't know how to take this. They don't name the official. They don't name anyone. They just say the Vatican. It would be somewhat frightening to think that this thing parading around as the Maitreya can just show up at our officials' houses and, I don't know, garner worship from them, tell them what to do, whatever the case is. But notice the Vatican. The Vatican, the Catholic statues, and yes, he mentions Baptists and fundamental Baptists as well, and fundamental this, but there is a great deal of information in the Book of Revelation that I don't have time to get into right now that really seems to point to Rome and to the Vatican being at least the head of the apostate church. And when you have this ecumenical movement going on where all of the churches are now coming home and they're all uniting under Catholic rule and under the Pope, you begin to see this as becoming very possible. And as I said before, Krem states that this Master Jesus is now in Rome waiting to take his throne at the Vatican.
A third category of evidence can be verified by anyone with access to a library or the internet, or by news media through their archives. This evidence consists of forecasts of the future, predictions made starting in 1988, which, amazingly, included not only unpredictable events, such as major earthquakes, but also the most dramatic, unexpected shifts in political power since the Second World War. Unlike the often generalized predictions of psychics, these forecasts specified the nature of each event, the country in which it was to occur, and if major political figures were involved, identified them by name. The predictions were published in Share International magazine and sent to news media starting in 1988. The source of these forecasts, Mr. Krem says, is Maitreya himself, who through his profound understanding of the law of cause and effect can see the consequences of human actions long before we see them in the physical world.
Well, I just spent 10 minutes on the Share International website looking for these so-called prophecies. Can't find them anywhere. If they're there, they are hidden somewhere, or I'm just overtired and blind for some reason, but I can't find them. In the video that I took this audio from, they do list them, and it looks just like a page of text going down, and it says like 1980 this, or 1992 this, and the only one that I remember off the top of my head was Gorbachev resigning. And I can attribute a good deal of these political uprisings and whatnot just being factors in a New World Order plan that is all prearranged. And if Krem is actually connected to people that are in the know, they can let him know what's going to happen in advance, and then he can release it and say, oh, look, I was right about this, I was right about that. I don't know how specific the earthquake predictions are. I don't know if it just says 1982, there's going to be a 6.8 earthquake somewhere. I don't know. I can't find them. So if anyone knows more about this or they know where I can find these so-called prophecies, I'd be interested in seeing them.
All the evidence taken together, the wave of miracles, the growing reports of benevolent intervention in people's lives, and the astonishing forecasts of unexpected changes around the world lend support to Benjamin Krem's claim that seemingly unexplainable, miraculous events are the work of Maitreya and the Masters, and, wondrously, are only their calling cards.
Now, I've got to tell you, that's a heck of a calling card. This guy can disappear and reappear, and these masters know how to make milk disappear. Now, I think I'd rather go with Jesus. You know, he came and lived and died and came back to life, died for our sins. That's a calling card. Making milk disappear is a party game.
There has never been a man of his stature working openly in the world.
So I guess Jesus, who came and died and was resurrected and went up to heaven, didn't really have any stature. He didn't go out into the world and work openly. This guy that no one knows who he is yet, if he's ever even going to emerge, is somehow of a higher stature, and by stature I mean recognition within the world, than Jesus Christ? I don't think so. Than Muhammad? Not even Muhammad. I'll go as far as to say Benny Hinn has a higher stature than the Maitreya. And he's another complete joke. Unless, of course, Krem knows something that we don't know. And these UN connections are going to pay off at some point.
There are now 13 masters plus Maitreya working in the world, in the major cities. Their energy is so tremendous. Their power, their wisdom and love is so beyond our comprehension that first group of masters will help us to transform the world out of all recognition. A new science will be given to the world. Maitreya calls it the technology or the science of light. This will provide all power needed on Earth.
Now, I shouldn't have to bring up light again, but all the world is going to be powered by light and powered by the sun. Now, go into some of the older podcasts and listen to me talk about the different sun gods and how these gods are all forfeits and forgeries of the true god. And go into how the obelisk is sun worship and Baal worship. That's what this is. This is Luciferianism. This is the bringer, the bearer of light. And again, if Krem is legit and this Maitreya is legit, it would be only fitting that Satan come, and I mean physically come here, disguised as an angel or a master of light.
We shall lift 30-foot stones and deposit rocks and deposit them to wherever we are building buildings that need that size. And we will do it by sound. An entirely new science is awaiting us when we take the steps to put our house in order, to create peace and justice and sharing in the world. The masters will reveal to us by degrees this extraordinary science, which is the science of everyday life, although hidden and esoteric until now.
Now, I found this absolutely stunning. Krem is basically telling you that when Maitreya comes, he's going to come with the technology that was more or less used to build all of the ancient wonders of the world. He's going to move 30-foot stones and put them wherever he wants. And he's going to... This seems like such a plausible way to give credence to an antichrist-like figure that wants to claim that it has some spiritual power and some authority that crosses the bounds of space and time. Because we don't know how the pyramids were built. We don't know how Easter Island was built. These are all mystical places. Stonehenge, all these places. They're all mystical because we don't know how they were built. And I firmly believe that when the Nephilim came down and the Nephilim interbred with the human women and they had supernatural offspring, that this technology was there. And I've always, you know, since I started studying this stuff, felt that's how these things were built. So now in a roundabout way, we have some guy coming out saying he's a modern day John the Baptist and the Savior is coming. This person that's a spiritual being yet human is coming. He fulfills all the prophecies of the Chosen One in every religion. Jesus is going to be his right-hand man ruling the Christians from Rome. And he's bringing with him ancient technology that I believe is demonic technology. Technology that was known to the Nephilim and their offspring, the giants, the men of renown. Yes, from in your Bible, these were the giants, their offspring, and the Anakim. So should it also surprise you that Krem took out an ad in 1982 that stated a new world order was coming and a new world order religion was coming that would be overseen by the Maitreya? So in 1982, long before President George H. Walker Bush said anything about a new world order, we have Benjamin Krem using the term new world order and mentioning a new world order religion. Now I'm looking at the official website of Maitreya, or Maitreya.org, and it's got his teachings on it. And on the front page of this thing, there is a symbol. And this is considered by Maitreya to be the greatest sign. This is the most powerful sign ever created. Now, I'm going to warn you. I suggest if you bother to go look at this stuff, that you pray before going on this website. Because there are images that pop up all over the place with words under them that say, meditate on this picture, try to contemplate and figure out the meaning of this picture and whatnot. I believe very much that there are demonic powers in this world. I believe very much that spells work and all that stuff. So I'm just saying, if you're looking at this, I suggest you say a prayer first and, you know, just make sure you cover yourself. Make sure you've got God's hand of protection keeping you safe. And, you know, I'm going to put a warning in the podcast reference material on this one, too, because this stuff is just really bizarre. And I certainly don't want to open anyone up to demonic entities or satanic influence. But this symbol is basically a Star of David in a circle. So in essence, it's a pentagram. Atop of it, it has a moon, the crescent moon, like in the Islamic faith. On one corner, there is a cross. On another corner, there is a Star of David. And then there are three symbols as to which I do not know what they mean, and I will let you know. In the center of it is something that looks like a swastika and an I Ching symbol. Okay, these are considered the seven seals. The first seal is I Ching. It's called the Seal of Awakening the Spiritual Forces and relates to all mystical paths and religions on the earth. The second seal, the Star of David, the sign of Solomon, communities of light. This is the second seal, and in the greatest sign, it symbolizes the teachings and history of the Hebrews, the Old Testament. The whole theme of the Old Testament is that God is trying to choose a community that accepts him as their God, etc., etc., etc. The third seal, the cross, sacrifice, not being self-centered. This is the third symbol in the greatest sign. It is a symbol for sacrifice after the awakening of the spiritual force, the first seal. You see, what's happening here is this is a very creative way of forcing all of these religions into one meaning that requires a comprehension and understanding, a roundabout anyway, or twisted version of each, to make them all mesh into one religion that can't exist without the others. If everyone is selfish and wants to take more than they put in, then that community and society will be destroyed. But if people participate and help the community, it will prosper. So that's how religion is portrayed here. Though I have to say, it actually sounds much more like communism. The fourth seal, the crescent moon, surrendering and submission. This is the fourth symbol. It is the symbol for surrendering and submission to God. And it goes into how we need to sacrifice. The fifth seal, the nine-armed star, is universalism. It is the symbol of universalism without realizing that God is everything and the whole universe is He. We will become narrow in our outlook of the universe. Now, I'm telling you, everything Benjamin Krem says, the way he portrays everything, is that there is no God. There's only some form of a higher reality. I don't know where this God stuff fits in, because Krem seems to mock religion as a whole, basically saying, well, these people don't understand, and the sophisticated see beyond that. The sixth seal is the Elect, and it is a Star of David with a little squiggly thing in the middle of the base of it. This is the Elect. After a person goes through the first five seals, he becomes an Elect, a Child of Light. Elects are those who meditate and awaken their spiritual forces. They direct their energy towards the creation of the communities of light. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not even going to finish reading that. I'm just going to give you the seventh seal, which is pure consciousness. The goal here is being one with God to be divine. So I guess this is where we are all capable of being gods. We're all capable of reaching this enlightenment and becoming masters. Yeah, well, you know, we know how that works. And as soon as you start hearing that you're going to be children of light and submit to the light, and the children of Israel are the children of light, nah, I think I know what that light's all about. So I really don't need to hear that. And the reason I'm presenting this to you guys, and, you know, I want to be very clear about this. This stuff is... I consider this stuff to be very evil, and I've been asked again and again why I bother to do this. And I do this as a warning to you, because I'm not smart enough to know that this guy is going to be the Antichrist or not, and I don't know how this is going to be presented in the future, and I don't know if something's going to happen and everybody, you know, an EMP goes off here or there and everyone's computers are wiped out and everything basically starts over from the beginning and there's no way to access this information and to hear what the truth of this stuff is. Sure, a lot of Christians out there will know instantly that it's wrong, and a lot of people will be fooled by it at the same time. So I do this not to expose you to the occult per se, but I do this to warn you about what these occult messages are, what they mean, and why you should avoid them. And educating yourself to the enemy's tactics, to a degree, I feel is very important when fighting any war, especially spiritual warfare. Now, this website is loaded with links, and I just clicked one that says, The Holiest of the Holies, Thoth. So I click the link, and now it takes me to a page with multiple links. And one of them is Thoth in parentheses with the O transforming into an all-seeing eye. I click on the eye, and I get a message. The light shineth in the darkness. When you move your cursor over that sentence, the light shineth in the darkness, it changes to God. And then it says underneath, and the darkness comprehend it not, and you move over that, and it says hell. Then when you click on hell, it says separation from God is hell. And I guess what this is implying is that the light's always shining, but unless you choose to see it, then you're separated from God, and you're already in hell. And what a lie that is. Truly, eternal separation from the one true God will be a spiritual misery, but there is a physical place or a spiritual place of torment known as hell. I'm not in hell now, but guess what? This variation of hell, this Maitreya mythological form of hell, yeah, I want to be in that hell because I want absolutely no connection to this guy. If he's real, if this is true, I want nothing to do with it. This is just more of the twisting upside down world where right is wrong and wrong is right. And yeah, Maitreya's version of hell, I'm all for it. I want no connection to him at all. Okay, then we move along and we find on this website all of the prophecies that the Maitreya fulfills. And these are truly warped. All right, let's get into these. The time for Christ to return is upon us. Most Christian groups realize this and have been preaching that Christ could return at any moment. That moment is now. All the prophecies are fulfilled. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming. Luke 21:24-27. Christ will come after Jerusalem is restored. And then the final revelation of God will come. Jerusalem was restored in 1948, and it was at this date that Israel was once again a free Jewish state, and David's fallen tent was brought back just as God had promised it would be. Yeah? Maitreya was born in 1944, several years before the fulfillment of this prophecy, and evidence of Christ's return. So, Maitreya was born, and that's evidence that... Christ gave another promise about his return in the Gospel of Matthew. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. The International Bible Society currently claims to distribute Bibles in nearly every nation in the world, and those countries that they do not cover are the Antarctic, the Middle East, and Australia, the latter of which is a Christian nation, and the former two have Bibles currently translated into their languages. The Maitreya subsequently began to receive his revelation from God in 1977, just as the gospel of Christ had been spread to the entire world. In other words, God makes it clear in the Bible that Christ will not return with revelation until after the period of 1977. This prophecy has been fulfilled. Does that make any sense at all? Yeah. These prophecies don't have anything to do with Maitreya. It doesn't say that Jesus is going to come back with revelation. Jesus is going to come back with a sword, and he's going to destroy all the nations that have risen up to fight him, to war with him. He's not going to come back and sit down and break bread with people and start having a revelation with them. I honestly can't even read this garbage anymore. There's like two or three more things I can't even stomach to read. I mean, it's just so nonsensical. I read those as examples. I really hope that no one out there can take that information and connect it to the Maitreya in any way. Because to me, that it's just like saying, the sky is blue. This means that I'm a gerbil. I mean, it's that obscure. There's no connection at all between the verses. I mean, it's really nice to quote Bible verses, but it's even nicer if you're going to try to... force some kind of a connection between your claiming that you somehow fulfill a prophecy and the actual verse. The first time I heard of this Maitreya nonsense was on a radio show. So I looked this site up, and this had to be 2 years ago, maybe longer, maybe 3 years ago. And there it was addressed on the site that people were concerned that this could be an Antichrist or the Antichrist. There was a whole bunch of reasons why the Maitreya claimed not to be the Antichrist, and there were more Bible verses twisted and used to prove, and I use the word prove very lightly because it was completely inaccurate, but there were verses up there that were supposed to show you that the Maitreya was the Savior and not an Antichrist. And that's completely removed from the site. Now, the website that I found the clipping from the Share International magazine was posted by someone who had linked to the Share International website, which stated openly on the website that they were working with the UN. And he posted on his site that information is now removed from the Share International website. He happened to have purchased two of these Share International magazines while he was on vacation somewhere. He came across them and he bought them to bring them home and show people. So he just scanned the inside of his magazines and posted it up. So listen, if anyone out there knows more about this or has any more information on it they can share with me, please contact me. I would love to post some stuff about this up, but I don't want to just copy from different sources and just rehash the same information. And like I said, I'm going to post the links up to all this information. Everything that I've read here, everything that I've discussed, I'm going to post links to it on the podcast reference material page. So go to salvationrevelation.com and just click that page. But I don't know that everyone needs to actually see this stuff. And I don't know if I want to actively encourage everyone to go seeking this stuff out. This has probably been the most uncomfortable podcast for me to put together, just because I don't even like saying some of this stuff out loud. You know, it's one thing to come across it or to read it. Or I don't like verbalizing it, and it makes me very uncomfortable. So I really ask all of you, before you go and start looking this Maitreya stuff up, before you go to these official sites and start looking at these images and stuff, pray to God about it, and make sure you feel that it's the right thing for you to do. Like I said, I don't want to expose you to anything that could hurt you spiritually, and, you know, I've pretty much given you all of the information that you need to understand what this Maitreya and what Benjamin Krem are all about. Now, again, to be clear, I'm not saying that this Maitreya is the Antichrist. Just that if he is a real entity, a real person, that he is an Antichrist. So I just came across a little bit more information that I want to share with you all, okay? This man that it claims to be the Maitreya was born in Tehran, and this website specifies Persia with Iran in parentheses. Now, remember when Daniel was in prison and he was praying and the angel came and the angel told him that he would have been there sooner, but he was fighting against the prince of Persia? The exact quote is, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future." So here we have Daniel. Now think about this. Daniel has a vision, and this angel is trying to come to him to tell him about the vision that will basically be explained to warn us about what's coming at the end times. And this demon grabs him, and they're fighting, and Michael has to come and help him. And, of course, this is Persia, this is Iran, and coincidentally, that's where this Maitreya spirit thing comes from. And I always just kind of took this verse in as, well, these angels are always fighting, there's always infighting between the angels and the demons and whatnot. It never dawned on me that this prince of Persia was trying to stop this angel from getting to Daniel and explaining this vision so that it could be recorded as a warning for us for now. And, you know, it's so strange how these things just hit me. I'm sitting here recording this. I've read that, I don't know, 50 times in my life, and I never made that connection. And probably every other person in the world that reads it makes that connection. I didn't. I never even dawned on me that that could be the case. Anyway, back to this bonehead. Maitreya has a MBA. He was working for his DBA, Doctorate in Business Administration, when he started receiving these revelations. He left the college to start his mission. He was born in a Muslim family, although his grandfathers were Islamic clergymen. His father was not a member of the clergy and was not a strict Muslim. Maitreya asked if they could show God to him. Since no one could do that, he did not accept any dogmatic religions. He said, "If I cannot see it, I will not believe in it." He was a seeker of the truth from a very early age of his life. So what does this appeal to? This doesn't appeal to Christians. This appeals to people that are refusing to acknowledge Christianity or refusing to acknowledge anything that's not scientific, anything that's illogical to the physical world, and there are many people like that. They want to see God. They want to see some sign. So yeah, this is a figure that's sympathetic to those needs. And there's just a whole lot more information here that, you know, it's really irrelevant. This to me sounds like some guy, if he's real, probably demon possessed. Don't know to what degree. Don't know to what extent the power of an entity would give him. don't know if he is the Antichrist or just an Antichrist, or if he even exists and Benjamin Krem's not just a false prophet out there trying to make a buck off this stuff. But the ties to the UN and the New World Order quotes and all this other stuff makes me very suspicious that this could be a real thing. This could be something that is legitimately real. That having been said, I'm not going to lose any sleep tonight worrying about whether or not this is the Antichrist or not. And when that time comes, that time comes. I'm going to end the podcast here. If you have any questions about any of this stuff, feel free to email me. I'd love to hear your opinions on this. If any of you know about it, if any of you, you know, this is the first time you're hearing about it, and this is the first time that you've heard Krem speak, I'd like to hear your opinions on it as Christians. I really would. I'm very curious to know what other people think and what other people know about this guy. And as usual, you can do that either on salvationrevelation.com through the contact information page, or you can go to www.faithspeak.net and contact me on there. With that, I ask all of you to continue to pray for one another and to continue praying for me. I'm praying for you. And before I upload this podcast, I'm going to pray that God protects you guys from anything that might be in here that could harm you in any way spiritually. I don't think there is, but I've read a good deal of the information off the websites, and we've got Krem talking on here, and, you know, I will pray before I upload this that God protects everyone that hears it. So with that, I now say goodbye, and I hope to talk to you all again very soon. Bye.